kick off on the stellar space.
Welcome, everyone. I hope your summer is going well, and welcome to this July 16th board meeting. And we've asked Allison to do the Stellar Share. I should say Allison has volunteered to do the Stellar Share to get us started. So welcome all, particularly those that are new either this time or last time. So, yeah, looking at you.
Well, today I'm going to be talking about C-2020F3. Anybody know what that is? Commonly referred to in the news as the Neo Star Comet. Hopefully you guys have had a chance to go check that out. NEOWISE is currently visible in the night sky. It was first discovered in March of this year. And it wasn't observed from Earth's surface. It was observed from a space observatory that's 326 miles above the Earth's surface. And the comet is named for its discoverer, which is the Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, also known as NEOWISE. That was launched by NASA back in 2009. The comet originated from a dark part of the solar system called the Oort cloud, is what they are assuming, which is an icy graveyard that's billions of miles away and filled with ancient comets and asteroids. So Comet NEOWISE came closest to the Earth on close to the Sun on July 3rd. So it passed about 26.7 million miles away from the Sun. And that sounds like a long ways, but it's actually just slightly closer than the average distance of the Sun to Mercury. So it actually came relatively close. And so they weren't sure if it would survive its pass from the Sun, but it did. And so right now, with the angle of it and the sun shining on it, we're able to see it. So how big is it? From its infrared signature, we can tell that its nucleus is about 3 miles across, or 5 kilometers, and it's covered with sooty dark particles that are left over from its formation. And they think it was formed about 4.6 billion years ago. It's about the time of the birth of our solar system. And Amy Mainzer, who is the principal investigator on the NEOWISE NASA mission, has said that it appears to be very rich in carbon, which gives it that kind of sooty appearance that you might see through your binoculars. And also, you know, if you were to be up close to it, it would look the same. Amy Mainzer, the PI, also said that, just to put it in context, about 65 million years ago, there was an asteroid or comet that was thought to have caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. And that object is about the same size as NEOWISE, anywhere between 5 to 10 kilometers across. So I thought that was fascinating, that to think about the comet that we're seeing in the sky right now might have been about the same size that caused the demise of the dinosaurs. So I like that comparison. So when can you see it? Right now in the evening sky, if you go outside about an hour after sunset, so about 10 p.m. is when we've been able to enjoy it the past couple from our driveway. If you can find the Big Dipper in the sky in the northwest and just follow the cup of the Big Dipper down to the horizon, then NEOWISE is somewhere in that range. And I'll have a slide or a picture that I can share as well that can help you spot it. Just by show of hands for anyone on video, who has seen it so far? Bianca, Reese. All right. So if you haven't seen it yet, you should be able to see it with your naked eye, or at least with binoculars, through the 19th in the evening. So definitely just, hopefully you can just pop out on your driveway or drive down the street to find an open, clear spot and check it out. Some people, depending on their eyesight, can see it just with their naked eye, and some people need binoculars. But I feel like once some people also spot it with the binoculars, then they can take the binoculars down and point it in the sky once they know where it's at. So I definitely encourage you to take a look at it, because it's been about 22 years since we had a good comet coming around. And this one is really beautiful with its tail, and the fact that we can just see it right outside is awesome. The one thing that I learned in doing some research for the Stellar Share 2 is that it's been interesting, because I think for the past couple of days you've been able to see the comet both in the morning hours and in the evening hours. and that is because it is circumpolar. So this is a definition I have to look up because I am not a scientist, but it's circumpolar from about the latitude of 45 degrees north. So circumpolar stars are stars that always reside above the horizon, and for that reason, they never rise or fully set. Salt Lake City is about 40.7 degrees latitude north, and so that's why for a few days, just based on its positioning, we had visibility both in the morning and in the evening. So, NEOWISE will be closest to the Earth on July 22nd and 23rd, and it will pass us about 64 million miles away from us. And so, this is our last chance to see this particular comet, unless you're planning to be around in 6,800 years. That's when they project it will be coming back around, if it lasts that long. So, without further ado, I'm going to share a video from one of our great presenters who came and talked at one of our galas, Emily Calandrelli. She did a quick TikTok video, which is a great summary. And then I'm going to finish up with an artist's compilation of photos. His name is Sean Doran, and he went to the International Space Station Archive and he pulled photos and compiled 550 images together to create a time-lapse video of the comet rising up above the Earth from the view of the International Space Station. There's a 7-minute long video that he posted on YouTube, and I'll share the link with that as well in the chat afterwards. But he also put together a time-lapse, which is about 15 seconds, that can give you a glimpse of it as well. So at this point, unless anyone has any questions, I'm going to attempt to share my screen in those couple videos I just talked about.
So, Ali, is this the optimum time right now, or is this supposed to get brighter or bigger?
They say it's going to appear slightly brighter over the next few days, and that is because it is moving higher in the horizon. And so earlier in the day when it's brighter, the higher in the horizon it is, the darker it is after sunset. That makes sense. So, like I said, it's still like best with binoculars. We pulled out our telescope to try to look at it, but it's not quite as much fun. It's because you cut off part of the tail based on the view. So the binoculars are probably the best option, and the brightness isn't going to change marginally over the next few days. It's only going to get dimmer and further away. So.
Okay.
I'm going to attempt to share my video. Seen it, so we will try.
After the satellite that discovered it, it's about 3 miles long, and on any clear night this week, you should be able to see it with your naked eye. This is what that comet looks like from the perspective of an astronaut on the International Space Station. It has a tail because a comet is made up of rock, dust, and ice, and when a comet gets close to the sun, which right now this one is, it heats up and releases ionized gas and dust particles. If you want to see it for yourself, here's a good guide if you live in the Northern Hemisphere. Find the Big Dipper, it'll be in the northwest, and look to the horizon. The comet will rise up each day over the next week. And so, even though 2020 is awful, remember that as a species, we're all watching something together that won't be seen again until the year 8,820. And if you get a chance to photograph this, tag me or duet me, because I'm not good at astrophotography, so I want to see yours.
All right, so that was Emily Calandrelli, and then this is the time-lapse video that Sean Doran put together from ISS photos. So that's all I've got, but it's really, I think that the video is stunning. And like I said, I'll send out a couple of links on the chat to how to spot it, as well as those videos if anyone is interested. That's the Stellar Share for today, unless anyone else has questions.
That time-lapse video was super cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And Neil Wise first saw that object, was it March?
March 27th of this year.
Yeah, I just think about how crazy is that, that here is an object trying to be spotted by the Near-Earth Object Warning System that was upon us before we even knew what it was.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of that NEOWISE mission is to, you know, track objects as they are getting close to Earth to be able to have time to mitigate it, but, you know, in case there was an issue. But never fear, it will not be hitting Earth. We're all good on this one, so hopefully
not this one.
I appreciate all the work they're doing.
That's great. Any other questions for Allie on the comet or presentation?
Do you know the angular size of it?
You'll have to define angular size for me. Like how long this, the tail is?
Like the moon is half a degree across. So.
I didn't see that in any of my readings, so I do not know. I'm sure it can be found, but I don't know offhand. Sorry, Ulrich.
Okay, thanks.
All right, other questions? All right, well, thank you, Allie. Well, it is 12:45, and I'd like to call this July 16th meeting of the Clark Planetarium Advisory Board to order. Looks like... Lindsay, do we have a list of everyone that's here so we can for the records?
Yeah. Okay. And sure. I believe that Olga has joined us via call-in as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'm on the line now. Thanks. Sorry, the WebEx wasn't working for me, so thank you.
All right. Thank you, and thank you all for being here today. We do have a quorum here today. Let's see. Do we have any guests that are joining us today?
All of our guests look to the Clark Planetarium staff members.
Oh, okay, excellent. A draft of the meeting minutes for the May 21st meeting were distributed a couple of months ago. We failed to get the recording going, so we need to vote on those again. And I believe I asked last time if there were any corrections, deletions, or additions, and we didn't have any. But... anyway, we needed to get that on the record. So does anyone are aware of any corrections, deletions, or additions to those meeting minutes from May? And seeing none, is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from May?
I'll motion to approve the minutes.
This is Shereen, I'll second.
Thank you for the motion and the second. All right. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes from May, say aye. Any opposed? I'm not seeing any hands, not hearing any nays. All right. Thank you. Those have been reviewed and approved. A draft of the meeting minutes for the June 18th meeting, meeting were distributed early this month. Are there any corrections, deletions, or additions to that June 18th meeting minutes? I'm not hearing any. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from June?
This is Shereen, and I'll make a motion to approve the June minutes.
All right, a second. I saw James's hand there, so... all those in favor of approving the meeting minutes from the month of June, say aye or raise your hand. Any opposed? Not seeing any opposition there. The meeting minutes are approved. Is there anyone who has received public comments regarding Clark Planetarium business in either a written or a verbal form? Lindsay, are you aware of any?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right, hearing none, we'll continue. In our June 18th board meeting this last month, we received and acknowledged nominations for board leadership. Allison Thompson was nominated for the role of board chair. And there were no other nominations for the role of board chair. All those in favor of Allison Thompson serving as chair of the Clark Planetarium Advisory Board, please say aye or raise your hand. Any opposed, say nay or raise your hand now. I think it unanimous support for you, Allison, on that vote. So congratulations. Look, we got the clapping going.
All right, it's been a pleasure serving as Vice Chair, and I hope we can continue to fill the big shoes he's left behind, and he's on the board for another year or two, so we'll keep leveraging him as well.
I got another year here, so I will settle into the background here. There were two nominations received last month for the role of Vice Chair, Bianca Lyon and Jordan Hansen. Since that those nominations last month, Bianca Lyon has opted to rescind acceptance of her nomination and to fully support Jordan Hansen in the role of vice chair. All those in favor of Jordan Hansen serving as vice chair for the Clark Planetarium Advisory Board, please say aye or raise your hand. All those opposed, say nay or raise your hand now. The voting appears to be unanimous, so congratulations, Jordan. That's a powerful duo there. All right. And just kind of looking at the time on the board, it's been a pleasure for me to serve as a leader on the board for some period of time, to serve with Tom Beckett and to serve with Allie. And just to see all the changes that have taken place and just really kind of some momentous things. I was thinking about this morning that I would count as achievements is that we have Allie Thompson as a vice chair in a leadership role. So I think that's exciting that we did that during the last couple of years. We saw changes in the bylaws that have included a different term for leaders to serve 2 years rather than 3 years in the role. And I think that allows more people to serve in a leadership position. And importantly, we've had a new executive director, and Lindsay Smith was encouraged to stay at the planetarium and to be the planetarium's leader as executive director. So I think those are some pretty important accomplishments in the last 2 years, and I have full support for Allie and Jordan going ahead in those leadership roles.
Well, Reese, you forgot to mention the outgoing, the onboard of COVID.
COVID.
Everything else that you've led the planetarium through and been playing main advisor to, and so I just want to especially thank you for your service and your tutelage and your inspiring leadership. So thank you, Reese.
Oh, thank you, Allie. Appreciate that. Well, with those formalities taking place and behind us here, Lindsay, let's turn it over and move ahead with the agenda.
Okay. Well, Reese and Allison, would you guys like to bring the board up to speed on where we're at with recruitment for new board members? We have some great candidates, and I'd love for you to share a few thoughts, because we're getting ready to move forward with putting some names to Mayor Wilson's office.
All right, Allie, go ahead. Get on it.
Sure. I left my notes across the way. Hold on.
Okay. And while she's getting that, I wanted to give a shout-out to Ulrich for re-upping for another term as a board member. So thank you for that, Ulrich. So as you know, terms of the board are 3 years, and then you may be invited to serve for another 3 years. And so, Ulrich, we're happy to have you for another 3 years.
Thank you. It was an easy decision.
Good.
This is a good board. As nonprofits boards go, I got to say, this is a pretty good board.
Nice.
Go ahead.
I completely agree. I grabbed my notes, Current status of the board, including Shireen as our newest member. As we embarked on this process, we had 11 members on our board, 4 females, 7 males. We had a lot of concentration on the east side of Salt Lake City. And so, as we've talked about before, one of our main objectives is just bringing people in from across the county, from various walks of life. And through 11 different interviews that we've conducted via Zoom over the last few months, we have found some really qualified, incredible candidates. So our board maximum can be 17 members, according to our bylaws. And so we are looking to fill those additional 6 spots. I don't think that we're going to mention names yet because we're sending them to the mayor for their approval, and then they will go to the county council to be approved. But we have excellent candidates from school districts who, from Westminster, from SLIC, from law firms, from consulting firms, from Democratic Party works. So we have just a lot of great, solid candidates with excellent experience in reaching out to various groups within the county, you know, whether it be from ethnic diversity or whether it be religious diversity or age diversity. We have a lot of critical thinkers in this mix that we hope will really broaden our reach and our impact as a board.
Excellent.
We're hoping to get them onboarded within the next month, and then I'm not a still Reese's son, but we were thinking in years past, we have sometimes opted to skip an August board meeting in terms of a summer break, and it's usually right before school is starting. But we're thinking maybe for August, if we get our candidates approved, we will have an informal 30-minute or so meet and greet, Q&A, meet our new board members, and do something a little bit more fun and light for August if you're able to.
Does that sound all right to everybody? To do that for August, so usually we skip August altogether, but because we've got these new board members coming in, the idea was let's have something kind of more interactive so we can get to know the board members to a greater extent and have them get to know you, and I think we can prevail upon someone from the Clark Planetarium staff to do something really cool in terms of a science-y kind of presentation too, so.
It's kind of our specialty. Happy to do it.
Does that sound all right? All those that could do that next month on the 21st, I think it is. So.
I think it's the 20th.
20th, okay. So anyway, it would be a shorter kind of thing than the regular board meeting. But if you could attend, that would be great. Just so that the new board members can get to know you and you can get to know them. And I think you will see from the caliber of the people that are coming in that, it's just going to make this board stronger than it is already. So I'm very pleased about what's taken place there. And I commend Allie for taking the assignment on of running with this in terms of vetting candidates and deciding who we're going to interview and not interview and just helping us come up as a group with the interview questions and the final document that we're sending to the county.
Well, and I just wanted to thank Olga and the interview because that was our interviewing committee. So there was a lot of time and effort going through that, but thank you all for your vetting as well.
But it was pretty easy to find people at home, though. That was the positive there. So.
Yeah, I don't think we had to reschedule any meetings.
It worked out pretty well, so that is an advantage of life during COVID here. All right, thank you, Allie, and I will remind you again about that date as when we get to the end of the meeting. But let's go ahead and the next item on the agenda, and Lindsay, go ahead and walk us through the schedules.
Let me just share some content. Is that showing for everybody?
It is.
All right. Look at me. Preparing content. No AV problems. So welcome. Just a quick report from the staff end. As always, we want to share our financials with the board. Particularly now, it's really important for us to keep an eye on our revenue. You can see that this is June. So we opened on June 15th. We've been open now for about a month. We've seen about 5,500 guests come through over the last month. And, you know, obviously the revenue from 2019 and earlier to 2020 is much lower, but we're happy to be welcoming guests back into the building and be earning revenue. You can see that dome shows are doing quite well and that the store remains a real, a bright spot for us financially right now. Show distribution, we believe we sold a copy or two of the newest show, The Edge. Exhibit sales, this is a copy of Gravity Floor sold to Roto, the exhibit firm that manufactured and helped us design our exhibit halls when we refurbished in 2016. And this is a weird little anomaly, this negative 61. We had received a wire transfer, and it was credited toward a contribution, and the person came back and let us know that that needed to be a membership. So we've got a funny little negative number there. But overall, you can see where we're standing, year to date, $519,202. So we're running right now about $600,000-ish behind where we were last year. You can see the
difference. If I can potentially put you on the spot, I know this is just showing income and revenue, but are we at least covering base costs and expenses and roughly by how much?
Yeah, luckily I do have Anna Marie Kuhler on the phone, our fiscal manager. We are covering costs. Anna Marie, do you have any detail you could share?
This is Anna Marie. So the revenue that we are bringing in is basically covering our labor and not a whole lot more than that. You know, we've just been open the 1 month so far, and we're hoping to see some increased attendance within the next month. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But we are covering labor, which is something, and we've got the community that's coming back into the facility, and they're really happy that we're open. So we're happy to provide that service for them. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as Lindsay mentioned on an executive call yesterday, all of the staff, nobody has tested positive for COVID in the last month. And I think that's obviously the most important part is keeping staff and our patrons safe. So, Mark, and thanks for answering that question.
Yeah, thank you. And we're really trying to be incredibly vigilant about safety. In fact, just earlier today, I was a staff member, I fell without a mask. Kindly, but, you know, we have to wear our masks. We're here to protect each other and our guests. Year-to-date, again, just showing you sort of a breakdown by revenue line where we're at year-to-date. Same bottom line number of that $500,000. And then our regular sort of chart. Give you a view of a different way to look at the finances. As Anna Marie mentioned, we're happy to be able to be here, offer the service to the community. People are incredibly happy to have us here and that we're open. I was just talking to the store manager this morning, and we had a really great time. We sold a telescope. People are buying things. And so, as Anna Marie mentioned, we're hopeful that we'll continue to see the community come back hopefully as they get more comfortable. And I was looking at the COVID numbers. Actually, I look at them every single day. But last few days, we've been down. That's awesome. I really hope we can hold and that masks are making the difference in the community. Any questions about finances before we move on, or thoughts, concerns?
Yeah, Lindsay, this is Reese. And in our kind of executive meeting that we have on Wednesdays, Allie and Lindsay and I were talking about this a little bit. There are some people who are friends of the planetarium from way back and all that have come forward and said, you know, should we really be open during this time? And so as a group, we did talk about that as a leadership group, about having the planetarium open during this time. And the unanimous feeling we have is that it is the right thing to do, that we could shut down completely and maybe that would be greater safety if that was the case. But we're also, that would have other consequences that would be very negative for children and families that really need the planetarium during this time, and for the employees that are the staff of the planetarium, that it's just better for the planetarium to be open during this time. And that's kind of the unanimous feeling from leadership, but I did want to open that up to the board to see if there's anyone that has a contrary viewpoint that they wanted to express about that. And I don't hear any.
I love you. As I mentioned in our call, we're really trying to make sure that we're balancing, ensuring that we can keep people employed and keep the planetarium going and moving forward and remaining safe. And that's why we have limited the numbers of people in this building, 25% of what our level capacity would be. But we're really only at, if you look at June from last year to this year, our attendance this year was 16% of what it was last year. So we are not seeing masses and masses of people. The building has never looked better. It is so clean. It's different to be seen anywhere. And we just really want to make sure that we're looking out for the organization, the community, and the staff through the decisions that we're making as leaders. And I just want to stress that as we look at these numbers, in fact, Anna Marie and I were just visiting with our leadership in the mayor's office on Monday, because everybody wants to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on expenses, on revenues, and that we're caring for these really important Salt Lake County institutions that, as Reese mentioned, people rely on, and we really make the life here in Salt Lake County that much more special.
Lindsay, a question. Currently, the Salt Lake County has the mask mandate. But that may change in the future, since those decisions are always a combination of political and other influences. What are the plans if the county stops having their mask mandate? And do you have flexibility there?
We, as a Salt Lake County organization institution, we will follow the lead of the mayor's office. But I do know that the mayor and council are incredibly supportive of the mask mandate. It's a very simple and easy way to help people be safe, to lower the risk of exposure. And we have seen incredible compliance with our patrons. You know, there's occasionally a grumbler, but, you know, nobody's putting up a fight. Nobody's being confrontational with the staff. So I'm confident that leadership will help us move forward through this in the way that makes the best sense for the community.
to add to that, if I can, Ulrich, I know Lindsay Weed had a conversation with Robin about her findings going to Thanksgiving Point and their reopening plans. And they went through two of the different museums down there. And in one museum where patrons were not wearing masks, when they proactively offered masks to the patrons, they saw a huge increase of people who were willing and who were willing to wear them and who actually were wearing them throughout the exhibits. And I know, Lindsay, you mentioned, I think, on last month's board meeting that you guys were ordering masks in order to offer them to patrons as well. So I think that could be a good mitigant if the mask mandate disappears.
Yeah, and we do have those masks. And we have gone through half of the masks that we've ordered thus far. So people are using, in fact, a couple weeks ago, I was working a greeter shift, and the students put their head in the door, saw the sign, the masks are required, and they went back outside and they were chatting. So I went outside and said, hey, you know, would you love to come visit? And the little boy, who had to be about 8, said, I really want to come in, but I don't have a mask. And I told him, you know what? I've got one for you. And I never saw a child get so excited about a mask before. So happy. And they were a family from Massachusetts and really wanted to visit the planetarium, and they had an incredible time here. So I'm really grateful that we're able to supply those to the community, the masks.
Nice. Terrific report. Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you for your leadership around the whole COVID issue and kind of moving ahead.
Well, thank you for all the support. It's, I won't lie, it's not easy. It's a tough time to feel, to be at the head of an organization. And I'm just really lucky that I have so much support from the board, from my leadership in the mayor's office, and from the team here at the planetarium. They absolutely deserve all the credit for the incredible work that we've done here, because from frontline staff all the way to senior management, everybody's embraced what we're doing and is on board and doing an incredible job.
Nice. Thank you.
Well, speaking of COVID and other impacts we've had in our world, I'd like to welcome Stephanie McGinnis. She is our community program supervisor. Stephanie joined us last fall. I believe, is that right, Stephanie, or was it the spring?
February 18th, just 3.5 weeks in the office and then off to remote.
She tells me it feels like it's been like a year and it's only been 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. That's 2020 for you in a nutshell. Right there. Yeah. The 15 years of 2020.
Stephanie has stepped in and has done an incredible job with a very teeny, teeny, tiny team of part-time staff members to really rethink how we offer community programs to the community and also create new things. So I'm going to hand the floor over to Stephanie. And Stephanie, you just let me know when you're ready to advance to the next slide.
Perfect. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you all for having me. I recognize one or two faces, but most of you are new. So it's great to meet you all. I just wanted to briefly update you on what we're up to right now and what we have coming up in the near future. So I want to talk about our regular programming, which there's really nothing regular these days. And I also just wanted to just update you on a few upcoming events and festivals. Next slide, please. So pretty much immediately after the shutdown, Nick and Audra and I got together and started brainstorming, you know, what are we going to do with our content? So one of the things that we came up with was Clark Classroom Creates. Depending on that is actually Audra, which was fantastic to have. And these are space-inspired activities that we're sharing every Wednesday at 11 a.m., and they're shared live on our Facebook page. And these will continue through the month of July, and we'll likely continue these after the school year starts in some fashion. We haven't quite figured out what that will be. And I'd like to continue these because we have the most Facebook traffic when Clark Classroom Creates is on. So Audra generated this heat map for community programs. And if you aren't familiar with heat maps, the darker the square, the more people we have engaging. So you can see on Wednesday at 10 a.m. is the darkest square. And, you know, it's probably darker than the 11 a.m. just because marketing does a good job of really promoting this and pushing the event. But in general, you can see that Wednesday is a pretty heavy day for us. So the long story short here is that we're creating content, generating somewhat of a consistent following. And I've actually had two organizations request to officially share our Clark Clausen Creates activities. Next slide, please. And if anyone has questions at any time, feel free to just interrupt, stop me. And just to give you an idea of reach and engagement, we're consistently hitting somewhere in the ballpark of 1,000 people with these weekly videos. So, and I just want to be clear here, we don't have 1,000 people watching live, but these videos stay up on our Facebook page after the event is over, and usually within 3 to 4 days, we have hundreds of views. So if you haven't seen any of these, please check them out on our Facebook page. And, of course, don't be afraid to spread the word about these by sharing them with your Facebook friends. Next slide, please.
Yeah, and I just want to add, Stephanie, that as somebody who loves the intersection of art and science and humanities, I love what you're doing with Clark Classroom Creates, because you're reaching a really broad audience by incorporating arts and yoga, and it's just a really cool interdisciplinary program that you're putting together.
Yeah, thanks, Lindsay. I mean, they've all been you know, art's kind of a loose term. We're doing bath bombs, we're doing yoga, we're doing Mad Libs, but they've been really well received. And every time we're infusing a lot of space science into those. So with Mindstorms, you guys are all probably aware that that's kind of the bulk of what the community programs have offered, you know, in the recent past to the city and county libraries. And after the shutdown, I spent quite a bit of time just trying to figure out how we could continue to offer this program. And the Mindstorms program, you know, we do that in person. There's touching of the robots, tablets, and it's just not COVID-friendly. And there's just not a really good substitute for the Mindstorms online. So in place of that, we are now doing an online coding camp. And we just started that up. Last week was our first week. So it's offered Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for 2 hours each day. And so I just want to share some of the comments that we got last week. And what's really powerful about this is we weren't asking the pros how they were liking camp, if they were having fun, nothing. These were just comments that started to come in through the chat over that two-hour period. So we are doing this camp again this week. So this is today's the last day. They're actually just started camp 15 minutes ago. And we're going to offer another one in August. And then once school starts, I think what we'll probably do is morph this into sort of an after-school program and just continue this as sort of the replacement for the Mindstorms, because I just don't know how long it's going to be until we can actually get kids back in person for this program. Next slide, please. So a few of the events and festivals that are coming up, I just kind of want to run down these. This first one, Rally the Valley, July 20th through 30th, I should actually have that broken up into two sections. So Rally the Valley, it's a community project that's encouraging residents, organizations to sort of rally together and share their talents and ideas. And so we had initially been offered sort of a day that the Clark Planetarium could be represented. And so we picked the 20th. For the launch of the Perseverance rover to Mars. And then the launch got pushed back. And I thought, oh boy, what are we going to do? And Audra had the great idea of, well, let's just do a 10-day countdown. So now the launch is slated for July 30th. So we have that all planned out to do sort of an activity every day. And then we got some more information from the county. And it turns out that really the Rally of the Valley is more of us just sort of taking pictures of us doing things that are inspired by what they have for sort of a daily challenge. So we are still going to do our countdown, but we are also, and when I say we, I know I'm going to have my staff, and I think Audra's going to be helping out as well with taking some pictures of the daily challenges. And they're all pretty simple. Show a picture of yourself hugging a tree, things like that. We are going to have a presence at Tracy Avery's Bird and Brews event. That's on August 6th. And they are going to hold that virtually this year. So we are going to be providing information on dark skies and light pollution. And we'll be showing one of our Dome from Home videos on light pollution. And we also have the Craft Lake City's annual DIY Festival. Again, this is going to be a virtual event. And we're going to be doing some of our activities pre-recorded and some live, so they'll just be STEM space-inspired activities. We are also going to have a presence at the Urbans Art Festival. This is put up by the Utah Arts Alliance. And at this point, they still have it slated to be in person, but I'm guessing it will be switched over to a virtual platform. So again, we'll be offering some sort of artsy STEM-related activities that are similar to our Clark Classroom Creates. Now, with Red Beat not being able to use their amphitheater this season, we're going to try to capitalize on that and hoping that we can offer some socially distant constellation viewing parties that will occur in late summer or early fall. And I'm still working on getting this organized. We are also going to partner with the Entrada Institute down in Torrey and with Capitol Reef National Park. And the Heritage Star Fest, so far, the main thing we are going to offer is Duke has volunteered to teach a class on nighttime photography down there. But we are going to be working with them on some other things. They're trying to create some night hike brochures. And so I think we're going to try to help out with telling them, you know, what would be in the night sky at certain times of the year so that they can include that on the calendar. With the NASA Film Festival, they have a short film contest called the 2019 CineSpace Competition, and they actually collaborate with the Houston Cinema Arts Society on that. And so we are hoping to share some of the finalist videos. So the 2019 competition was on the continuous human presence on board the International Space Station. And so we still have a few logistics issues out there, so we don't have a date set quite yet. And we also are looking at doing somewhat of a virtual speaker series. So on August 19th at 1 p.m., we have a NASA outreach specialist that will join us to discuss Artemis, the upcoming mission. And so that will be just a discussion with some Q&A at the end. We also have three members of the Starliner Landing and Recovery Operation at Dugway that will join us to discuss their roles in the landing and recovery, again, with a Q&A at the end. And again, I've got this listed here with potential speakers because we may officially couch this as a virtual speaker series. We're hoping that we can have people join us in the IMAX, but then also stream that online. So if we do go that route, we'll add an additional speaker and under just that theme of space exploration. And that's all I have to get you guys on. That's kind of what's on the plate for the next couple of months. So if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to shout out.
All right.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. All right, that's what we have for our agenda. Are there any other items to come before the board? Anything for the greater good?
I have a question. I think I probably know the answer to it, but I felt it maybe worth bringing up. The state has put forward a couple of different grant opportunities for nonprofit organizations. And I'm just making sure, Lindsay, I know that with the relationship with the county that that might limit us, but are you tracking those, and did you need more information about those?
We are tracking those, and in fact, Tim brought one to our attention the other day through the Department of Arts and Museums, and we have been given the green light to move forward with applying, even though we are a county institution that is all funding through the county.
Great. I just want to make sure that you all were aware, but it sounds like you are. Great. That's good.
One thing I wanted to bring up. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that maybe if we have, everyone has a few minutes to spare, I sent out an email a week or two ago, and Reese and Lindsay and I have been brainstorming about gala. In the past, we would hold a fall gala in person. We've done it at the planetarium the past few years, and it's a great fundraising event for us. But obviously, an in-person event is not going to happen this year. And so if anybody has any connections or knowledge about things that have worked well for virtual galas that have occurred already this year, or any ideas about how to make that really engaging and Clark Planetarium specific, maybe we can just have a little brainstorm session together here, because I feel like when we're able to kind of bounce and build off of each other's ideas, it's a little more productive than thinking in your silo and responding to an email. So Does anybody have anything that they would like to see or that they think might make for an engaging virtual gala from the planetarium?
And the team met last week, the staff team met to bounce a whole bunch of ideas off of each other last week. And I don't know if Tim wants to chime in and just kind of give us sort of the big picture stuff to help get kind of those ideas rolling.
Sure, yeah. We met last week, obviously we'd like to do something digital, and we'd really like to make it, as you say, Allison, something that's more engaging than just, watching something on your screen. We're thinking through a lot of those ideas right now. Andrea, our graphic designer, sent over some fun graphics. We've been thinking about, can we create a situation that's similar to, it's tiered, where people can, choose a black tie event where we send them some stuff, or they can choose, a plaid event. It's all the same event, right? But we'll send them a different package of things. We're thinking of, different content that we can create to keep it engaging, whether we want to have speakers or not. Really, there's kind of endless opportunities. And when you think about it, there's almost more that you can do when it's digital. So I wouldn't say that we have anything firm yet, but that's sort of the idea, is to create something that everybody joins in on online, and they can join in on their own levels. We still want to do auctions. We still want to do some sort of fundraising, but we want to make it really fun and. I don't know, Lindsay, you said this in our meeting last week, so almost sort of like a party atmosphere, as opposed to, I haven't been to them before, so I can't say as opposed to what they were before. It sounds like they were a party before. So.
Yeah, and we were talking about, some of the ideas of people buy a certain level of ticket, and then in advance we mail them an astronaut ice cream that they get to eat with us during the party, just something that makes it feel like there's a tangible thing that you're getting to join in. Maybe a special cocktail or cocktail recipe that you get to make at home too. And again, we were thinking about auction wise, it's really hard for our companies to donate right now. So we're hoping to possibly put together fewer packages, but make them a little bit bigger and kind of more the route of some live stuff. Our expectations are not as grand as they were in the past for auction. Mm-hmm.
This is Shireen. I'm wondering if I feel like one thing that has not happened, there haven't been a ton of online events or activities that seem to really incorporate kids. And maybe I'm just like not deeper into these communities, but I feel like, could there be a way to leverage the store, put together a package? People could be getting a ticket, and also that would be incorporated, and that could be some of the cool items in the store. We're asking people maybe to, I don't know. I just feel like to sit with my kid, I have a 5-year-old who's now become obsessed with space, and to be able to like bring in families, have different tiers, have kids be able to open a package, open a small, thing, build it together. I don't know. I just feel like there could be something really fun there. And I'm worried that people are just getting, I know I am, a little like fatigued with the Zoom event because it feels long and you're doing this big commitment and it's not the same kind of interaction, but I feel like we could do something really innovative, science-oriented, family-oriented, which might be different than what you have in mind, or maybe it's right on track. I'm not sure.
We always have kids, guests that want to bring their kids. You know, the gala is more geared toward adults, but we always want to make it family-friendly enough that kids could be there, and that could be a really interesting way to put a different spin on it.
I like that idea, Shireen, and because in the past, I think we haven't included kids because there's been just a premium on every one of those seats. And so we're looking for more contributions per seat in the IMAX theater, to be blunt here. But anyway, if we don't have that kind of a constriction, you know, there's not a problem that way because people are joining digitally. I imagine they could have their kids at home sitting and looking at the monitor at the same time. I like that idea.
Yeah. I was thinking about one way to engage people is through contests potentially, and especially like a costume contest. And so it could be really fun to have, like, maybe we have a set astronaut kit that we send out to families when they purchase like a family ticket. And then it's their job to sort of boost that astronaut costume and whoever has the best costume or can win a prize or something like that. But that, I feel like engaging kids, that's actually, yeah, that's a really great idea.
Couple question or suggestions. One thing might also be potentially to send some easy recipes of food that people could prepare while they're participating in the Zoom gala. And maybe also the ticket would enter you in a raffle for one thing. So that, you know, as another encouragement to get a ticket. And then maybe lastly, that doing that as an online forum also gives us the opportunity to share things with all the people. And one thing I think that would be really nice, the staff at the planetarium has done such an amazing job with all the exhibits that are there. And seeing the gala, that, I mean, people don't really focus on it that much because they're there talking. But if we had some of the staff show some of the exhibits and maybe explain a little and give a little in-depth tour that they would otherwise never get, I think that would be really appealing.
I agree with that, Ulrich. I think that could be a fun way to lead up to the event as well, you know, a 5-day countdown with in-depth exhibit tours leading up to the event or something like that. I really like that suggestion.
I wonder, the SB Dance Company is doing a traveling dance performance. They're 5 minutes long, and they are on the back of a trailer, and they ask that you invite them and then just support through donation, do a social distance. I wonder if one of the raffle items could be a community science demonstration, and we could figure out, you know, how to make mobile some element of the planetarium. And then you could host, you know, in your neighborhood a little, like, maybe that's what you're in the raffle for or something. I don't know. Just a thought.
I love that idea. I see that all the time, people who host the dance company, and I'm like, how do I do that? I want that. That's so cool. Some of the board members will remember a few years ago when we had one of our education staff members give, like, the presentation we do in schools at the gala, and he was so popular that we ended up auctioning him off for birthday parties. So it would be cool to have somebody come and do some of those showy, fun things in your neighborhood.
Kind of along those ideas as well, I mean, we're the planetarium, right? I know a number of us have telescopes or access to telescopes. I don't know if it was the city or county did a bike concert downtown early days of COVID, where you would bike in a group, a guided group of 10 to 15 people to various bands, and you'd see five different bands perform throughout the evening. But, you know, maybe we have an element where people can drive to a certain part of the valley and be in a small group of 5 to 10 and get to look at Jupiter and Saturn in the night sky, or, you know, whatever's in the night sky, depending on when we want to host this, to get a slightly in-person and a meaningful experience. But depending on where you host it, it might be really cold or really difficult. So. But I really like that idea of, you know, the bike concert and being able to still be part of a social event and experience it, even if it was just in a small group.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think something like a stargazing event, the risk of COVID outdoors is substantially lower than indoors. So that would be something that would be a lot easier to do than other group activities.
Yeah.
Do we have a date set for the gala?
We don't have a date. We're thinking October.
The question is whether or not we wanted to have a speaker or not, and so we didn't want to set a date because if we had a speaker, it would be, you know, based on their availability. Also, I have not been a part of this group before for these, but if there is anyone who is interested or willing in offering silent auction donations or auction donations in terms of experiences or whatever, or if you know anybody who would be interested in doing that, we would certainly welcome that help.
We have, or you guys have provided amazing experience items in the past.
And for those of you who are newer, a lot of times these have taken place of, has taken the form of, like, for instance, you have access to a condo for a weekend or a week or, you know, some kind of, entertainment tickets, that kind of thing. Maybe you've got season tickets to something and you want to give one of those events or some of those tickets away. You know, up to all the catamaran with, Esten was spectacular. So that was a very popular. So anyway, if you can think along those lines as well, something that you already have access to already, but you just want to share that.
Or if you're a great photographer, Ulrich, I love your photos.
Yeah, those are great too. All right, thank you for your good ideas. Allie, anything else that you want to finish that off with? Or?
No, I think that's great. I think there's some great ideas, and I would just say to keep chewing on it, and if as you have ideas, shoot them over to Tim and Lindsay, and we'll further the conversation. And Tim and Lindsay, as you guys, you know, start to solidify things, definitely reach out to the board for us to help. I know people are eager to jump in and help plan these events, and wherever we can get our hands dirty, we like to be involved, so.
All right. Anything else for the greater good? All right. Just in closing, for the month of August, so next month, we plan to forego our formal board meeting and instead hold a virtual meet and greet on August 20th. So that would be at the same 12:30 p.m. That's our regular time. And in this virtual meet and greet, we'll have all of you, our current board members, meet our many new board members. And looking ahead 2 months, we will meet again as a full board for a board meeting on September 17th. Today, I wanted to be sure that all of you around the table know my gratitude and support for accepting assignments, projects, and tasks, and just for your candid expressions of support. It was 2 years ago in a meeting just like this that Kim Wilson pulled me aside after the meeting, and he said, just know that you've got my support. And I got to tell you that meant a lot to me. And I would encourage those of you on the board now to find a way to share an expression of support with Allie and Jordan in the coming weeks. On behalf of the leadership team, I want to express my sincere gratitude to all of you for your service to Clark Planetarium. I'd like to thank all those who participated in the meeting today and declare this meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Reese.